The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Hour number two, 8 o'clock hour on this Wednesday, the 17th day of April. Glad you are here. 866-660-5759. That's how you can really be here, as in person, having a chat about things. Listening to Nikki at the top of the hour of the newscast, some talk show topics, some stories have value because of the lesson that maybe is learned as we look at a news story. And I'll get to this, I think, this hour. If you have a baby and you're a kid, 1 year old, any age, please, and you've got somebody who is babysitting for you while you go to work or something, and I don't know if it's technically in-home daycare or just somebody who watches your child, is it the best idea to drop the kid off in a household that has 3 80-pound dogs? And I'm curious, I don't know, you know, not looking to profile, or am I? Absent from the stories is, what kind of dogs were these? Did it rhyme with pit bull? And I know that gets all the pit owners, oh, he's just the sweetest thing in the world. Sure he is, till he eats your kid or somebody else's kid. And that's what happened here. These three dogs killed a kid. So kind of funny, funny, strange, how these stories arise in sometimes in clusters. A few days ago, we were talking about the responsibility of a parent if a sullen, disturbed kid goes off and shoots up a school. Apparently, many of you saying totally criminally liable. Well, here is someone who was watching a kid in her house, and he got three killer dogs. Oh, gee, he never did anything before. So what ought to happen in those instances? We will examine. 866-660-5759. That's where you call us. That's where you text us on the Viaskin of Las Colinas text line. All right, as we got into our chat with Mike, I was like halfway through a Nate Foy, his package from last night on Fox, about Trump's day in court and jury selection continues. And it got me thinking about jury selection for him, jury selection for anybody. Could you ever be? I have always said, and I've got a weird mixed feelings thing on this because I don't need to be missing shows. I don't want to be gone for a week so I can have this happy experiment of Mark Davis jury foreman or just jury participant or whatever. But I would love to think that I would just be a golden juror, that I would have the ability to just whatever, to literally have the blinders on that Lady Justice requires. The Lady Justice statue is blindfolded and has scales in her hands. The scales indicate the balance that you're supposed to approach, that the court system is supposed to approach you with, a balance of this side versus that side. And the blindness, this is one of the most important things. The blindfold on Lady Justice in that statue is because the court system and the jurors and the judge are supposed to not care who you are, not care whether you're white or black or Asian or Hispanic, not care whether you are rich or poor, not care who you are. It's about the merits of your case. It's about the arguments that you make. It's about the prosecution's ability to prove its point and the defense's ability to repel that prosecution. And it should not matter who you are, how much you make, what race you are, what sex you are, what your job is. That is the blinders that the justice system is supposed to have on. I would love, I may get this chance. I don't know. I would love to. And of course, anytime jury duty arises, it's like, and you want to get dismissed for, I think I've been called three times, got dismissed in 10 minutes. And of course, but here's, it's also, it's me. I mean, do they see me? I mean, speaking of having blinders on, I guess you actually don't, you got to know who the juror, you got to have your eyeballs in their sockets to see who the jurors are. You know, do you need a talk show guy on the jury? Well, this one would be great. Now, here's the reason I'm sitting here talking about me as a juror, because haven't we all had that introspective moment where we thought, wow, could I be on a jury? And I got to tell you, the death of OJ a few days ago really got just refreshed my warm feelings about that jury, which completely ignored the overwhelming evidence of his guilt to let a black man go free for racial revenge. So let's stipulate that's bad. So when I ask you, could you be on the Trump jury? Obviously, the voir dire process, as it's called, should be looking to root out people who hate his guts. But what about people who just love him? I just love him. Might not have loved him more than yesterday, popping out of the courthouse, heading to Harlem to hear the cheers of young people of color and take pictures with cops, and just, this is how he wins. I love the man. I loved his policies, and I just love him. He makes the right people crazy. He is exactly, and look, do I, in a perfect world, I think, I don't even know who coined this, do I wish that all of our conservative leaders were wise, mannerly philosopher kings? Sure. But these are not perfect times. It's not an ideal world. We have such corruption, such craziness, such a swamp, such lawfare, such profound perversion in so many of our institutions, that this is what you need: somebody who is an absolute sharp-elbowed buzzsaw, which is probably imagery that doesn't work. He's perfect for that. He's Mitt Romney ain't gonna fix this. You know, it's not. These are times. All right, you ready for this? You want to go? You want to go there? I'll go there. These are times that need something different even than Reagan. God bless Ronald Reagan, who rescued us from the Carter presidency. Reagan rescued us from Carter. Trump rescued us from Hillary, and he's going to rescue us from Biden. Far, far more dire. But here's the thing. What Reagan brought in the 80s was a mannerly, wisdom, well-spoken, disciplined, consummate, sublime communicator's gift. He was exactly the right thing at the right time. Times are different now. After Reagan, heck, during Reagan, it's not like he somehow came in and just through the force of his will turned us into a completely conservative country with, you know, conservative institutions at every corner. Nope. We spent ourselves into oblivion during the Reagan years. A lot of it was to rebuild the military. But there still was such a thing as the Democrat Party, and they engaged and continued their practices of profligate spending. So, but Reagan was perfect at the time, just perfect at the time, the formative presidency of my young adulthood, the most important presidency of my entire life, was Trump number one, and God willing, it will be Trump number two, because that's how close we are to the edge. So anyway, so that was the short essay on why I just love the guy. Could I be on the jury? Here's what's weird about this. Well, the short answer is yeah, because what please understand, I don't consider these charges against him to be absurd because I love him, or because I am a Republican, or I am a conservative, or I want him to beat Biden. I consider these charges to be absurd because the charges are absurd. they simply, objectively, are. And all kinds of people who have no intention of voting for him have the same view. All right, so Nate Foy, Fox, last night.
Bragg accuses Trump of funneling payments to Daniels through Cohen, his former lawyer, and misrepresenting those payments as legal expenses.
I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense, some accountant, and you get indicted over that?
Meanwhile, the jury pool is dwindling.
I was excused.
Because?
My job, I work in cybersecurity, and schedule-wise, it would be really difficult.
Does that work now? Can you just do that? It's really inconvenient. I thought jury service, I mean, I've always told people if you want to get off a jury, go in there and develop a little twitch or something and, you know, talk about how, you know, the Jews are the problem in all of America. Then you'll be gone, you know, in 30 seconds. Just make up something crazy and wheels off and terrible and hateful to say, and you'll be out by lunch. That particular young lady, Kara McGee, she talked to, talked to Fox, but there's a whole article about her that kind of got me thinking about the whole jury selection thing. But let's let Mr. Foy finish here.
Court dismissed several prospective jurors for not being able to judge Trump fairly.
It's very difficult for anyone really in this country to not come to this with prior opinions.
She's not wrong about that, and which is kind of the source of my question. We know how we feel about somebody who hates his guts on the jury. I would like to think that somebody who didn't vote for him, is not a fan of his, could nonetheless be on the jury and objectively weigh the evidence. I think that's possible. It is harder in today's America, where everything is weaponized. And we've gone from, and a lot of it is just the sea change that we've had in our culture and our life and our interactions. Because how many times have you heard me say, we used to have a society where it's, I disagree with you, let me tell you why, and let me tell you why I think you're mistaken about this, and then you can tell me why you think I'm mistaken about that, and we may or may not agree, but at least we'll understand each other. So, such a Norman Rockwell world. Now it's, I disagree with you, you are stupid. I disagree with you, you are evil. That's where we are now.
We all have prior opinions about the defendant, unless you've been like living in a cardboard box.
Right now, seven jurors have been seated with opening statements set to happen on Monday of next week, but that timing very much fluid and dependent on how quickly the remaining five jurors can be selected, as well as six alternates. Wednesday is an off day, with the trial resuming on Thursday morning.
So there we are. Let me pause, come back, and there's a whole article about Kara McGee, the lady who you just heard, and what her process. So what was it like for at least one juror going through the process? And what would you think? What should the opinion be? What should the landscape be if you end up with a juror, you know, who's like a MAGA hat wearing person who can't wait for him to be president again? Could that person objectively, God, it's a bad example. It's a bad example. You almost have to make it a hypothetical, because this case is so threadbare, is so flawed, is so stupid. You almost can't ask, well, could a Trump fan, you know, the short answer is yes. And I guess I'll use once again my example. I could totally be on the Trump jury. My acquittal of him, which would be guaranteed, would not be because of my political feelings about him. It would be because of the perniciously flawed nature of the evidence. 822. For the 80s metalheads, got a little something for you. Pretty good 40-year-old record, huh? The Boys of Rat. Stephen Piercy out front, right? Want to go see him tonight? Just him. I don't know what happened to the other guys. Yeah, Stephen Piercy is like touring. It's my week to be, or my month to plug Lava Cantina out in the Colony, which is a great venue. Stephen Piercy tonight at Lava Cantina. Probably catch a little round and round, lay it down, Wanted Man. This is a great record. Hope Stephen's okay. Could the band not reach an agreement on, shall we let him get to the hook? because he's at Lava Canteen in the Colony tonight. But if you miss him there, you can catch Stephen at the Fiesta Oyster Bake in San Antonio on Friday.
Wow.
That is a Spinal Tap development. Anyway, listen. Yeah, but and again, the guy had more hit records than I did. So Stephen Piercy of Rat at Lava Cantina in the Colony tonight. Get on over there. All right. So Kara McGee was the lady we heard there in that Fox story, and she apparently had a lot to say about the jury selection process because to be a fly on the wall. And she said she could serve as a juror in an unbiased manner. Saying it'd be very difficult for anybody not to come to this without prior opinions. She admitted, I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with somebody who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. What? So she's kind of an idiot, so maybe it's good that she's not on the jury. What? How is that your roommate's problem? Or how is that his fault? Trial kicked off Monday, pool of 96 jurors, 50 of them were gone almost immediately. So, and I want to thank these people. If you hate Trump's guts and came in, sat down and answered the Q&A and said, look, there's no way in the world I could be impartial about the guy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ms. McGee said two of the questions asked of potential jurors most clearly indicated how they felt about Trump in the case. One of which is, do you have opinions about the ability for a former sitting president to be tried in a court of law? Which I think the way people answered that showed how they felt about the case. And the other one was, do you have any opinions about legal limits for campaign finance donation amounts? Which I believe was another one that was kind of meant to gauge feelings about the particular case. Ms. McGee said she did make eye contact. I looked at him after I'd finished giving the final answer. I glanced over at him again and made eye contact. I have no idea what he thought at that moment. Oh, man, I have no idea what any of these people are thinking. I know what I'm thinking, and we're harvesting what you're thinking as well. All right, let's get to what you think about this horrible, tragic story out of Duncanville. Three dogs ate a kid, and that's just it. And you drop your kid off at the sitter, and the sitter's got monsters in the house. And it's like, well, what could possibly go wrong here? What ought to happen in this instance and other things in the local, state, national news as we are perusing all of them on this Wednesday, the 17th of April, 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 831.
I was a fan.
Whoopsie daisy. Turn off the effects machine.
I was a fan
of Liz Phair when she was kind of a quirky indie chick doing albums like White Chocolate Space Egg, songs like Polyester Bride. And then about 20 years ago, you ever have an artist come out with an album halfway through their career and it's just named after them? It's eponymous, as the word goes. And that's what she did in 2003, album called Liz Phair, P-H-A-I-R. And it was kind of poppy, a lot more accessible, a little less weird, but still great. This is Why Can't I? And she is 57 today, so happy birthday, Liz Phair. Alrighty, I thought about getting into this yesterday. We got busy, other stuff happened, but it is the kind of story that sticks to you, sticks to your heart, sticks to your brain, and the questions linger as far as what kind of criminal charge. Once again, what kind of crime has happened here? This comes squarely under the heading of, can you even remotely imagine? It's Duncanville, right off Daniel Dale. There's a house on Lime Leaf Lane, and it's a house where somebody lives, and a person who apparently watches kids, or at least watched one kid, or did, till the dogs ate the kid. Police are investigating the death of an infant on Monday after he was attacked by three dogs inside this Duncanville home. Officers responded about 10:40 in the morning. Found the unconscious one-year-old victim. Child was taken by ambulance to Children's Medical Center Dallas, where he died shortly thereafter. Identified as Shiraz Azervadam. May God welcome this beautiful little boy into his loving arms. Child was being babysat at the home when the attack occurred. There were a few other kids inside the house. They were unharmed. Just the dogs got full. The Duncanville police chief, Matthew Stogner, at a Monday news conference said the homeowner attempted to pull the dogs weighing about 80 pounds each off the infant before first responders arrived, but was unsuccessful. And the woman, who was the homeowner, the caregiver, also sustained injuries. Police declined to comment on whether the woman was a family friend or a relative of the child, or if she runs an in-home daycare, citing the pending investigation. Duncanville Animal Control responded and took possession of the dogs. Criminal charges had not been filed. Police are working with Dallas County DA's office as the investigation continues. This screams pit bull, but there are other breeds that have a pesky tendency to do things like this. And I know. Oh, they're so sweet. He would never hurt a fly. Sure, until he eats a kid. They wait. It's like a September 10th mentality. They wait till you're comfortable, then they eat a kid. clearly, whoever this woman is, she's still around. Whoever this woman is, she did not intend for this to happen. The parents of this beautiful little boy, daycare is tight, man. It's expensive. Have you priced this stuff out? So maybe if you've got a friend of the family, we'll do it, save you a couple of bucks. Yeah, the downside is we got three monster dogs in the house, but hey, I know everybody would like this one back. This was a bad decision. Bad decision on the part of the woman to be handling kids in a house with what were obviously three completely aggressive dogs. A bad idea for the parents to drop that beautiful boy off at this house. Just bad decisions on top of bad decisions. So, as we sometimes do, let me ask you, is this a crime? What ought to happen here? And it will invariably, as it did on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line yesterday toward the end of the show, get into the notion of breed bans. I tend flat out banning pit bulls. People, I can't speak broadly because the broad brush doesn't apply to everybody. The American Staffordshire Terrier or whatever the technical nomenclature is. The people own pit. I mean, pardon me for a couple of seconds working semi blue. It's because they want to be badass. It's a badass dog. You want to show somebody you're a badass? Like, don't mess with me in my yard, my house. Get me about four or five pits in the yard. People are less likely to mess with you. I can't project this onto this woman. I have no idea. They're everywhere. Lord knows they're easy to find. They have redeeming qualities. Every dog has redeeming qualities. And I know that clearly theories vary as to whether certain things are bred into a breed where you can get one as a puppy. But are there aggressive tendencies from mom and dad who might have eaten a couple of kids during their own time on the planet? It's just a bad idea. So I don't know if it's a good idea. And everybody always goes, oh, a poodle bites somebody too. I know they do. I know. And then you get to Rottweilers and German Shepherds and things like that. But it's stats are tricky because it does, breed related stats are tricky. Because it also completely involves how a dog is treated. Would I trust a lovingly treated in a loving, functional home, pit bull over a, mistreated mutt in the house next door? Probably. But the stigma exists. The stigma deserves to exist. And as far as we, you know, handle this individually, just as people, if it's your baby, I think I'd probably err on the side of caution. Sorry to be unfair to the breed, but I don't want a dog to eat my kid. So anyway, criminal charges here. No criminal intent. Is this negligence? And they're basically focused on the woman who owned the home. I can only imagine that she is just mortified. But as you know, it's a rise to the level of criminal negligence to be running. Listen, whether it's officially licensed daycare or she's watching a bunch of kids, if you're watching a bunch of kids, you're running a daycare. And if you got three monster dogs in the house, maybe that's a crime to be letting kids into your house. Well, I never expected, you know, well, you know, Zeus never looked at me crosswise before until that day. And Monday at this house was that day. So what do you think? 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. On the list of what do you think, there was a story about 3 months ago when Dr. Freddie Haynes of Friendship West in Dallas assumed the storied reins of what was forever and ever and ever and ever Jesse Jackson's gig, the Rainbow Push Coalition. It's like, wow, local guy's going to be running Rainbow Push. Well, that lasted about 90 days. He abruptly resigned yesterday. Sydney Persing had the story on Channel 8.
First of all, we know that this resignation is very sudden and it is effective immediately. But so far tonight, no one will answer the biggest questions. Why is he leaving and what happened? Haynes was appointed as CEO and president of the organization back in July after he was handpicked by Jesse Jackson himself. But as he mentioned, he's only actually been working in the role for about 10 weeks. We were there for his swearing in on February 1st. Haynes did not agree to an interview tonight, but in a statement shared with us, he wrote in part, "After continual prayer and deliberation, I have decided to step down from the position of Chief Executive Officer and President of Rainbow Push Coalition, effective immediately. Rest assured that my work in the fight for liberation and freedom continues."
After listen, everybody prays and deliberates. That's always good. You should always pray and deliberate. So what exactly was the content of these prayers and deliberations that had him bail on this really important national post 3 months in?
Now, Rainbow Push Coalition's work ranges from promoting minority hiring and corporate jobs to conducting voter registration drives in communities of color. Just moments ago, Reverend Haynes issued a video statement.
"It was my honor, signal honor, last year when Reverend Jackson, a personal hero, icon, a leader who has changed the world, tapped me to succeed him as president and CEO of Rainbow Push."
So why do you ball that up and throw it away after 3 months? Just wondering.
"It's been my honor to serve, and for that, I will also be grateful. However, today, I submitted my resignation as president and CEO because I felt it necessary in light of the huge challenges faced by our community."
What? So because they're in light of the huge challenge, I would think the huge challenges would make you want to stick around.
"In light of the challenges faced by this nation and world during this consequential year to move in another direction, I will continue the fight for justice. I will continue to be a prophetic witness. I will just do it in another lane while continuing to honor the work of Rainbow Push and Reverend Jackson."
Good okay. So Freddie Haynes, local pastor, Friendship West, no longer heading the Rainbow Push Coalition. All right, 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 849. Breed update in the Duncanville dog attack story. This just in. German Shepherd mix. Mix is always interesting. Usually mix identifies there's a pit bull in there somewhere. But you never know. And again, it's kind of funny. I guess German Shepherds, Rottweilers, etc. These tend to be your aggressive breeds. Is there stereotype at play? There is. I mean, I've known a ton of people who have had German Shepherds And I mean, can you train a German Shepherd to be an attack dog? Sure. Does that mean that's kind of in the blood? I think that's probably unfair. You know, so these in this Duncanville story, a German Shepherd mix, mixed with what? We're in Dallas. Joe, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, great show, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, I had a pit bull. I took on a pit bull and raised it. And then we had a baby. And the baby was crying in the room, you know, in the crib.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw our dog sticking his nose under the door, you know, wanting to know what was in there,
well, sure.
You know. And,
well, I mean, and, oh, you mean the dog was unaware that there was another living creature in the house?
Yeah. And
oh,
I was thinking, man, that dog probably thinks it's a cat or something.
Oh, you never know.
And I got rid of the dog.
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's... Was that a long conversation or pretty instant? I mean, how long had you had him?
Probably about a year.
I know. I know.
But it was a friendly dog, but it didn't like my neighbor's husband.
And, well, yeah.
And I put a 6-foot fence up around it,
yeah.
You know, and I put a chain lock around the fence. So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't do that. They'll just lock the fence with some yarn or something, you
yeah,
know, and
that,
it'll get out.
Work. It will indeed. I salute and support your decision, and it had to be hard. Joe thing. I mean, nobody loves the puppies more than me, and I don't want to be, you know, breedist, racist, sexist, breedist. I mean, I don't know. When I see that strange viper-shaped head of the pit bull, I think, oh, Lordy. I do. I totally do. There's just too much track record. And again, for the 10th time, these were German Shepherd mixes in the Duncanville story. But don't worry, there'll be a story along at some point that'll feature our friends, the Pits. If you have one, and all of a sudden, oh, my wife's pregnant, and you bring that baby home, is it time to get rid of the dog? Oh, he's never done anything before. Mm-hmm. He's waiting. In far too many cases, he's just waiting. 8:57. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.